Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's morning and evening book. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 316. The scripture passage that the Prince of Preachers, Dr. Spurgeon, chose for us today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Dr. Spurgeon goes on, we have here a personal claim and one that needs proof. The apostle knew that his claim was indisputable, but there are many persons who have no right to the title, who yet claim to belong to the Israel of God. If we are with confidence declaring, so am I also an Israelite, let us only say it after having searched our heart as in the presence of God. But if we can give proof that we are following Jesus, if we can from the heart say, I trust him wholly, trust him simply, trust him now, and trust him ever, then the position which the saints of God hold belongs to us. All their enjoyments are our possessions. We may be the very least in Israel, less than the least of all saints. Yet since the mercies of God belong to the saints as saints and not as advanced saints or well-taught saints, we may put in our plea and say, are they Israelites? So am I. Therefore the promises are mine, grace is mine, glory will be mine, and I will give it all back to the Lord. The claim rightfully made is one which will yield untold comfort when God's people are rejoicing that they are his. What a happiness if they can say, so am I, when they speak of being pardoned and justified and accepted in the Beloved. How joyful to respond through the grace of God, so am I. But this claim not only has its enjoyments and privileges, but also its conditions and duties. We must share with God's people in cloud as well as in sunshine when we hear them spoken of with contempt and ridicule for being Christians. We must come boldly forward and say, so am I. When we see them working for Christ, giving their time, their talent, their whole heart to Jesus, we must be able to say, so do I. Oh, let us prove our gratitude by our devotion and give as those who, having claimed, and live rather as those who, having claimed a privilege, are willing to take the responsibility connected with that privilege. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this devotional. We pray now, Lord, that you would open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears, and save those, Lord, who are lost, so that they can say, so am I. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend, can you say, so am I? Can you truly say that you are a part of the beloved family of Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life you have claimed Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say, so am I? I too am born again. I am saved by the grace of God. If I were to die today, I would go to heaven to be with the beloved family of Jesus Christ. Or if you were to die today, you would go to the burning hell. Can you remember a day you met Jesus Christ and you received him as your Savior? If not, dear friend, pay close attention. Here's what you need to do. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor. It doesn't matter whether you are the president or a pauper. Makes no difference how beautiful you think you are or how handsome you think you are. Makes no difference how educated you are or not. We all have sinned against God. None of us have been that smart to stay away from sin and evil, unfortunately. Secondly, please accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for your sin and for my sin. There is a punishment for sin always. You know that. You know that in your heart. You know that in your conscience. Your conscience even tells you when you do wrong. You have a guilty conscience like the rest of us. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That is a final statement right there. It's a period. The wages of sin is death. There's no changing that. That is a not only a biblical fact, a God fact. This is God's word. It is a fact from your experience and from mine, because we have seen people, we know people who have died. And we know in ourselves that we're going to die. And we deserve to die because of our sins against God, because of our sinful nature against God, don't we? And so one day your body will go to a dark, cold grave, and down in it, something that many people have not gotten out of their minds yet, of loved ones being lowered in a casket into the black and dark ground. But sadder than that, your soul will already be in hell if you have never met Jesus Christ and believed on him. You mark the words of the Bible, and you mark my words. If you die unsaved, you will lift up your eyes in hell immediately, in the torments of hell. Be you black or white, red or yellow, makes no difference. None of that stuff matters in heaven or in hell. None of that stuff matters with God. So thirdly, my dear friends, understand and accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now while you're living. You may not feel like it. You might feel quite good about yourself. You have your plans, you have your goals, you love doing what you do, but one day you will die, and before your body goes inside the casket and down into the grave, your soul will already be in hell. Before they have your funeral, you will already be in the burning hell, the place of torments. Jesus Christ, by the way, you say, preacher, how do you know that so confidently? You sound very confident that that's the case. I know that because Jesus Christ said so. Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly one, the loving one. My dear friends, he preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Nobody preached more on hell than Jesus Christ did. He preached more on hell, by the way, than he did about heaven. Why? Because he hates us? No, but because he loves us. He wants us to be saved from hell, and he understands human nature. We move more by fear than by the promises of good things. You know why most of us don't speed? Because we don't want a ticket. We don't want the hell of the ticket. We don't want the hell of being stopped. We don't want the hell of going to the courthouse. See, and Jesus Christ understands us better than we understand ourselves. If the truth of hell does not, while you're living now, because you're not going to hear about it, nobody's going to come from hell to tell you. That's already been established in the Word of God. So you need to hear it now. No matter who you think you are, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior and repented, according to Jesus Christ, you will immediately go to hell when you die. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where the worm dieth, and their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, you don't want to go to hell. Hell is no joke. Hell is not something we should use in a phrase. Hell is not a place you ought to tell people to go to. Notice what Jesus Christ said in one of his sermons on hell in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, to show you how earnest and serious Jesus Christ took the matter of going to hell. He said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off." In other words, if your foot is leading you to hell because of is leading you into sin. See, sin is what brings on hell. If your hand, you're touching another man's wife and having sex with somebody you are not married to, and other such evil sin and foolishness, it's better for you to cut them off and cast them from thee. Jesus said, it is better for thee to enter into life, that is eternal life, halt or maimed. In other words, your leg amputated, your foot amputated off, your hand amputated off. Rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Your sin is not worth it. The problem is, some people think sin is worth going to hell for, and it's not. You know why many people don't believe in Christ? They love darkness more than they love light. They love sin more than they love righteousness. They love the pleasure of sin which is temporary, and there is pleasure in it, but it's only temporary. But they love that temporary pleasure more than they love God and righteousness. So they stay in it, and then they die and go to hell forever. See, hell is forever. Heaven with God is forever. It's very unwise to love sin more than Christ, because God's pleasures are far, far more wonderful and more durable than the pleasures of sin for a season, as the Bible calls it. So you want to know who goes to hell? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible states in Revelation 21:8, the Bible tells you who goes to hell. And this is just a limited list. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, people too afraid to get saved or to follow Christ, because of persecution, because it might be a hard life, or because they're afraid what their family members might say or their friends might say. And unbelieving, these are the people who call themselves atheists and agnostics, but they call on God when they get into trouble. And the abominable, these are people who commit abominable acts, and so therefore they live abominable lives. These are men who look at little babies in pornography sites, on pornography sites. These are men who try to kidnap children, to rape them, and to take pictures with them to sell on pornography sites. These are the abominable. These are they who are in a family where the mother lusts after her own son, be it a biological son or a stepson. The father lusts after his own daughter, be it his biological daughter or a stepdaughter, incest, and they try to have sex with their own family members. A brother lusts after his own sister. A sister lusts after her own brother. And they try to have sex together. This is abominable in God's sight. The abominable people. These are men who lust after men. Women who lust after women. Homosexuals, sodomites, lesbians. These are they who commit abominations, and therefore they are abominable people. These are people who look at an animal and lust after an animal and try to have sex with a monkey, a dog, a horse. I know it's uncomfortable, but see, where else? I'm just trying to help you to understand. Where else do you want them to go? Now, you're a sinner too, but you don't sin like that, hopefully. But you don't, right now in your mind, you hope they go to hell, don't you? There's no place for people like that. There are murderers, which I'm getting ready to mention now, in jails and prisons, don't even want these people in their prison. They go after these people oftentimes and kill them, if they mess with little children especially. By the way, these are the priests and preachers who rape little children and kill them. I'm just reading the list that God has put in the Bible. These are people who are going to hell. They're going to the lake of fire. And murderers, people who kill other people. And whoremongers, the heterosexual sinners. Men are considered whoremongers. Women are considered whores. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. and the horoscope. Sorcerers and idolaters. People who put anything or anybody before God, God hates it. Even if it's golf or a car or a woman or a man or a child, nothing and nobody should come before God. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where else can they go but to the trash heap of the universe, hell, the lake of fire? They can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven, man, looking at little children. You can't go to heaven being a whoremonger, a pimp, and a prostitute, and a whore. You can't go to heaven living and being a homosexual and a lesbian, a transvestite, a sodomite. There's only one place you can go to, and that is hell. And you will burn forever in hell. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. The same Jesus Christ who preached on hell, the same Jesus Christ who described how hell really is, said the most loving, most wonderful, most precious words ever said on earth. When he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In other words, dear friend, all you have to do is follow the instructions of Jesus Christ, and that is simply believe in him. Jesus Christ said, "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Makes no difference what you are, Republican, Democrat, Independent. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which also you understand means you're going to repent of your old life, your sinful life. You already understand that. That's in your heart. Nobody thinks they can believe in Jesus Christ and continue in their wicked abominations and sins. Nobody in their right mind thinks that way. We already know instinctively that when we believe in Christ, we must repent and change our behavior. And God will help us. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that? How do you know people know that?" Because every time you witness to them, they say, "Well, let me clean my life up first, and then I'll come to Jesus." And we tell them, "No, you'll be dead and in hell before you do that. You need to come to Jesus first and let him help you clean your life up." Whosoever believeth, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. That's all it means. Notice that from Jesus Christ, you don't see anything about how you need to go clean your life up first. You need to be a member of a church, or you must be in church somewhere to believe in me. You don't hear Jesus saying anything about you need to get baptized before you get saved and and all of that. All you have to do is believe in him, and you will not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, do it right now for your own good. Tomorrow is not promised you. Your excuses have been taken away. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, wherever you are in the world, be it at your house, be it outside walking the dog, on the treadmill, at the gym, wherever you might be, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul. For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's call on his name as you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. If you believe in him, pray to him, he'll save your soul. And he'll change your life. I'll help you with the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. In fact, Lord, I admit that I am a wicked sinner. For I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, you bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from the hell that I deserve. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to change from the inside out. Help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name I do pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, and you prayed that prayer with me in sincerity, may I say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free book. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today at the preaching of his gospel, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.